Fear is something that each one of us faces. And with the uncertainty of our nation and our world right now, fear seems to be at the forefront of our daily living. Am I safe? We ask these questions. Am I safe? Or is my family safe? Are my children safe? But it's not just fears around the issue of safety that seem to overwhelm us. We spend large amounts of our days living in fear. Fear of not having enough money. Fear that we are not enough. Fear of rejection. Fear of not being loved. Fear of failure. And last week, we looked at the fear of being alone, of being forgotten in our world. So throughout the stories of Christ's birth, we are reminded over and over and over again to fear not. Messengers come to Mary, and they come to Joseph, and they come to the shepherds with the words, "Fear not." Typically, when we come to the story of Christmas, we don't spend a lot of time on fear because we don't want to talk about fear. We want to talk about happy things, joyous things, and fear is something we'd rather not deal with. But there's something about this because it shows up over and over again in this story. A young girl is asked to give birth to the Son of God. She is given this overwhelming task to raise God incarnate, God in the flesh. I can't even imagine how scary that must have been for her. And Joseph is asked to take this child as if it's his very own. He's asked to trust Mary, and he's asked to trust God. And then the shepherds, they're on that hillside, that quiet hillside, that dark hillside, and all of a sudden there's a brilliant light with angel voices singing out, telling them this crazy story, and then they're told they have to go and see it for themselves. These are frightening stories. Imagine being one of these characters. What would you have done if you were there? If you were in the place of Mary, if you were in the place of Joseph, if you were one of the shepherds on the hillside, what would you have done? I have to tell you, I think I would have been filled with fear. I think that would have probably definitely been my first response. But you see, the good news for us is that even though they were filled with fear, they were still obedient to God. Fear didn't keep them from moving forward this amazing story of God's love. And so throughout Advent, as we prepare our hearts once again for Christ to enter, to be born into our hearts, how can we hear this message of fear not in our own lives? Today, we're going to focus on the story of Joseph. Joseph risked the ridicule of his community. Joseph came face to face with his own fear of rejection from his family, from his community, from those that he loved. This is what Joseph had to face. So I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25, and I invite you to follow along in your Bibles or in the Bibles in the pew rack in front of you. Matthew is the first of our Gospels. I'm going to be reading from chapter 1, very beginning of the New Testament, verses 18 through 25. And since it is the Gospel of our Lord, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for its reading. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. And when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. There are very few people in our world that don't care about what others think. The reality is that at one level or another, all of us care about what others think of us, what others think about the clothes we wear, or the hairstyle that we have, or do they think I'm funny, or am I smart enough? Am I attractive enough? Do I fit in with the crowd? Do you like my Instagram selfie? Did I get enough likes on the tweet, on my latest tweet? We have become a society obsessed with what others think of us. But this isn't anything new. In our passage from Scripture this morning, Joseph was forced to face the opinions of others. He had to decide between what was socially acceptable, not just socially acceptable, but what was acceptable in his faith community. He had to decide whether he was going to do what was acceptable in his community or to do what God wanted him to do. You see, Joseph was engaged to a teenage virgin girl named Mary. And the rules were different back then. Today, if you're engaged and things don't work out, you just say, you know what? I don't think this is meant to be. You don't get married, and that's the end of it. But in the time of Joseph and Mary and Jesus, if you were engaged, that was a covenant. That was a commitment that you were making. And in order to end that, you literally had to get a divorce. You would be engaged for a year, and if you wanted to break off the engagement, you would actually file for divorce. And so it was during this time of engagement that Mary came to him, and she said, "I am carrying a child." She was pregnant. And Joseph knew he wasn't the father. They hadn't lived together. He knew this wasn't his child. And so he was faced with the challenge of believing Mary. And not only that, he was faced with the judgment of his family and his community. And in that time, family and community was everything. Joseph needed the support of his family. His good name in the community would ensure that he would have the resources to be able to provide. And without his good name, he would have to leave and go find a place somewhere else. And now Mary was pregnant, and she was claiming that this child was from the Holy Spirit, which just seemed a little far-fetched to Joseph. But what was his other option? His other option was that she was unfaithful to him. And according to the law that we find in Deuteronomy, if a man marries a girl who is claimed to be a virgin and then finds out that she's not, they shall bring the girl to the entrance of her father's house, and there the townsmen shall stone her to death. That is what the scriptures say should have happened to Mary. That is what should have happened to Mary. So Joseph is faced with either believing Mary, trusting her word, and leaving the safety net of his community, or he could cast her off publicly as an adulterous woman, which would condemn her to death, or he could quietly dismiss her and send her away and let her find her own way, a young pregnant woman. And he decided on the latter of the three. He decided he was going to quietly dismiss her. It just seemed too crazy to actually believe that she had become pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And so he made the decision that he was going to dismiss her quietly. But then there was the dream. A messenger, an angel, telling him to believe, to trust in God's plan, to trust in Mary. And when he woke up, he believed. When he woke up, he believed, and he took her as his wife. Now, that's the simple story. He had the dream, and he believed. And we like to think, oh, wow, Joseph, it must have been so simple for him. Once he knew, he just did it, you know, and he trusted, and that was it. And yet, I have to think that even in his belief, that there was still a great, immense fear that he held on to. In 2006, a movie came out. I don't know if any of you got a chance. It was a while ago, but it's still out there. It's a really good movie. It's called The Nativity Story. And it chronicles the events leading up to the birth of Jesus. And isn't this the time we all watch the Christmas movies? Well, this is a good Christmas movie that you can watch. There are other good ones too, but this is the Nativity. It's actually the story of Christmas. So if you get a chance, I encourage you to watch it. But it chronicles the events leading up to the birth of Jesus. And one scene captures well the predicament of Joseph. Throughout the movie, Joseph is portrayed as a hardworking and faithful man, an unsung hero. We don't hear much about Joseph, but in this movie, we get to see how he courageously leads his family, how he endures hardship and does God's bidding even when the future is uncertain. And there's one scene where Mary and Joseph are traveling from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And along the way, they stop at the Sea of Galilee, and they're cooking a meal of roasted fish on the shore. And Joseph, as Mary's cooking and preparing the meal, she smiles and says the baby's moving, and she rubs her hand across her belly, and Joseph looks with a mixture of excitement and concern. And Mary says to him, "You know, Joseph, you never really told me about the dream." And Joseph looks as if he might answer, but then he turns away. "No, really," Mary insists, "tell me." And Joseph leans toward her, and he says, "The angel came to me, and he told me that the child within you had been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and that I should not be afraid." And Mary asks, "Are you afraid?" "Yes," Joseph whispers. "Are you?" And Mary replies, "Yes." You see, following God's plan requires us to face some of our greatest fears. Joseph was faced with following the voice of the world or following God's plan. And this happens to us too. We're going to be confronted with these amazing opportunities to obey God. But you see, following God is really risky. Like Joseph, when we follow God, we are often met with opposition from the world around us. And I don't know how it's going to play out in your life, but there's going to be a time when God calls you to do something that's really unpopular. And if you obey, you're going to be shunned and you're going to be criticized, because following Jesus is not an easy path. It may mean that you're standing up to injustice in your workplace, because, brothers and sisters, we know that there is injustice that happens in our workplace all the time. And maybe it means that you're speaking out against an unethical decision that's being made to save money or to save face. Or maybe it means that you're speaking up for the voiceless, those that nobody hears, challenging the status quo. But you see, when you challenge the status quo, you are always going to be met with opposition. This past Tuesday was the fourth anniversary of the death of Nelson Mandela. And I was reminded because it came back up on my Facebook feed this week. So I decided that I remembered that he passed away on a Saturday. And it was one of those times where you wrote your sermon and then something happened and you knew you had to rewrite your sermon because God had something new to say that day. So I decided to go back to that sermon in my archives. And I realized that the scripture that Sunday was on Joseph. It was the same scripture that we had today. And I spoke about Nelson's faith to follow God, even in the face of extreme oppression, even in the face of extreme opposition. I reminded my congregation that, like Joseph, Mandela became part of a new set of assumptions about what it might look like to live in peace with one's neighbor. He was part of a new set of assumptions, just like Joseph was writing a new set of assumptions about what it might mean or look like to be faithful to God. But the road for Nelson Mandela wasn't easy. He was forced to face some of his greatest fears. He spent 27 years in jail. He spent one-third of his life in prison. I can't even imagine. One-third of your life behind bars. And from his prison cell on Robben Island in 1975, he wrote these words. "Difficulties break some men and women, but make others. No axe is sharp enough to cut the soul of a sinner who keeps on trying. One armed with hope that he will rise in the end. No axe is sharp enough to cut the soul of a sinner who keeps on trying. One armed with hope that he will rise in the end." Nelson Mandela was obedient to God's call. Joseph was obedient even in the face of great fear. Both men understood the importance of listening and following God's call despite the fear that they felt. And a simple act of obedience can make all the difference in our world. For many of you, it was an act of obedience that changed your life. God called you, God invited you to follow, and it may have been inconvenient. It may have been an inconvenient time. Believe me, I know there are many of you that probably would have liked to stay in bed today, right? Cold, snow, and there will come a time when we live stream these, and that will go through your mind. Should I stay home and watch it on the TV? And I encourage you, no, get out of bed and come, because worship is about being together as God's people. You see, following God is not always a convenient thing in our lives. God called you, God invited you to follow, and I'm sure that you can't imagine your life being any different than it is right now. So where is God calling you to be obedient in your living today? Maybe you've been considering inviting your coworker, somebody that's really struggling during this season. Maybe you've been considering inviting them to come to worship, but then you think, you know what, I don't want to be pushy. They probably have something else to do, and so you don't invite them. And I'm encouraging you now to invite them to Christmas Eve worship. Reach out. Take that step of obedience and invite someone. Maybe it's not Christmas Eve worship. Maybe it's the longest night worship that we have on Wednesday, December 20th, especially if somebody's going through a tough time. That's a wonderful way that you might be obedient to God. You have no idea how someone's life might change by the little obedient things that we do. Maybe it's stepping out to pray with a friend, not just saying, I'll pray for you. I know you're going through this. When I get home, I'll pray for you. But saying, you know what? Let's pray right now. I can see that there's things weighing on your heart right now, and I want to pray with you. And maybe that's the obedience that God's calling you to today. Or perhaps God has put it on your heart to begin tithing or to begin regularly giving to the church. And maybe one day you'll look back and say, I can't believe what God did in our lives or in our finances when we took this simple act of obedience to God. And maybe, Chuck, maybe it's saying, I've never worked in the men's shelter. I'm a little afraid to stay overnight, but I can stay for a couple hours beforehand. Maybe this is the time that I sign up to help out at the men's shelter. Or maybe, Celia and I were talking the other day, maybe it's signing up to go and work over at Elijah's Promise and helping with a couple of the meals there. Maybe that's the obedience that God's calling you to today. When you serve somewhere in the church and out in the world, you have no idea the impact that you have on people's lives around you, how much you might change and make a difference, how you might bless them, and how blessing them may bless others. Because brothers and sisters, we do not have to understand God's plan. And most of us will never, no, all of us will never understand God's plan. Joseph and Mary, they didn't know the whole story. They just said yes. They just said yes. And they went. So like Joseph, we need to be willing to say yes and trust that even in the midst of our fears, even in the face of rejection from the world around us, that God will still lead us. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us, and we admit that we're not always listening, Lord. We get so caught up in the world around us. We get so caught up in listening to others that we stop listening to you. And the fears that we have keep us from saying yes. They keep us from being obedient to your call on our lives. And so today, Lord, we offer ourselves up to you once again. Take us, Lord. Use us for your kingdom. Use us so that the world might see the light that came into the world. See the blessing of Jesus, that you loved us so much that you would come down to be with us. Lord, we give you all the thanks, all the praise and honor and glory. Amen.